Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 weeks now, we've been studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're one who's come tonight just to hear the sermon on the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues, let me invite you to come back next Sunday and hear an exposition of one of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they're all important. And we have a temptation to be enamored with some of the rather exotic manifestations of the work of the Spirit and not with some of the rather mundane manifestations of His ministry. And I want to say at the outset that certainly there are gifts that are more vital to the functioning of the body of Christ than this particular gift. Now, before we look at the text, and I want to say to you that what we're going to say tonight comes from the Scriptures, and it is an honest attempt on my part to let the Bible say what it says. I have tried to come to the text without any preconceived notions, though there was a time in my life when I was rather anti certain gifts of the Spirit, and this was certainly one of them. So my approach is simply to say to you, let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say without trying to bring some preconceived notions to it, even if our own tradition would tend to make us do that. Now, we're not going to be able to say everything that could be said about this particular gift. Not enough time. There are many scholarly volumes that have been written about the gifts of the Spirit, and some whole books devoted to this one gift, or these two gifts that we're going to consider tonight. So I'm not going to try to look at what other passages in the Scripture have to say about it, and particularly those Acts passages, Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, if you want to check them and read them. But I want us to see what Paul had to say in Corinthians, because that's the major passage, and it's the teaching passage. I was taught in the seminary that when we come to try to understand anything, we try to let the epistles, those are the letters, whether it's of Paul or James or John or Peter or Jude or whoever, we try to let the epistles be sort of the standard by which we interpret the Gospels and the Acts. In other words, we don't interpret the letters by the narratives, but we interpret the narratives by the epistles or the letters, the teaching portion of the Scripture. So I come with that sort of perspective. But I will say this to you, I have consented to meet next Sunday night during the church training hour with one of the church training groups who are doing an intensive study in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the life of the body of Christ. And I'm going to be in there to answer any questions they may have. So if you have a question tonight that may arise in your mind, if you'll be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I don't know what room they meet in, but it's where the adult two department meets on Sunday morning. I don't know if it has a number, but it's back here. And we'll try to answer some questions that may not be answered tonight. Now, I call your attention to 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to just read some context here, though we won't talk about all that I'm going to read. In verse 1, we read, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, just a comment here to say to you that God does not want the members of the family to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Now, this is repetition for some of you, but some of you, it's new stuff, and so I'll just simply say to you that God wants you to know what your spiritual gift is. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then God's very disappointed. Because you see, the spiritual gift or gifts that you have determine what particular ministry God has for you. Now go down to verse 7, and we read these words. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." God gives the manifestation of His Spirit, these grace gifts, to every member in the body, and the reason is for the common good, for the good of the whole body of Christ, not just in one given congregation, but in the entire church universal. And then he begins in verse 8 to list some, not all, but some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And so here we see wisdom, knowledge, healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment, and then the last two that we're going to examine tonight, the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, I have on a cassette tape here a man praying in unknown tongues. I think you'll be able to hear this. We tried it out about 5:30, and we won't listen to all of it. And the reason that I do this is not to sort of make this like a canned approach, but I know that many of you have never had one experience of ever hearing anybody speak in tongues. And it's that's strange to me, because I've heard tongues speaking for years and years and years, though I have never myself spoken in tongues. It's just almost inconceivable to me that somebody could be as much as 25 years old and not hear, have never heard someone speak in tongues. So, to satisfy your curiosity, I think probably some of you are very curious at that point, I want to play for you this tape.
Clergyman speaking in tongues by himself. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless this experience, and that we praise thee in a new language. We pray that thy Holy Spirit may guide and direct us, and fill us with all peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shiyara kayara mboyara kulala kayara shiyabarayara kayara kuriyara shumbarayara kuriyara mbarayara kulala shiyayara kayandayara vundayara vandya shiyanamadikarayara kuriyara zakiyana mbayayara kayara yakiyambayara kushinimala kariyara mbaya kuliyara mbarayara mbara shiyabarayara kuriyara ramma
Well, with that sort of enlightenment, for those of you who have not heard the manifestation of tongues, let's get down to business, okay? Of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, few, if any, have had the effect as the gift of speaking in tongues. The gift has excited many, divided others, and brought suspicion upon large segments of Christian people in various denominations. Very much has been said and written in the last 10 to 20 years about speaking in tongues. And much of what has been written, both pro and con, is in error. Sadly, all too often, the truth has been neglected. Now, this morning when I made the announcement about the sermon tonight, I said to you that it seems that there are three different perspectives on the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly tongues. There is charismania, which is someone who's a fanatic about the gifts of the Spirit and about certain particular gifts, usually the gift of tongues, and that's sort of their one note that they play again and again and again. There is charisphobia, which is the perspective that says that tongues are not of God, and they're afraid of tongues. And then there's the perspective of charismatic, which is what the Bible says that every Christian is. Every believer in Jesus Christ is a charismatic. Well, let's look at these, okay? First of all, the perspective of charismania. Some Christians claim that a tongues experience is the basic factor for a believer's spiritual life. It's a sign of being baptized by the Holy Spirit, they say. Dennis and Rita Bennett write, and they are representative of this school of thought, "What if I don't speak in tongues? Can I receive the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues?" It comes with a package. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is what happens when and as you are baptized in the Spirit. And it becomes an important resource to help you continue, as Paul says, to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. On the other extreme, there are other groups who react strongly to that particular view, and they strictly forbid anyone to speak in tongues. These are those from the school of charismophobia. They may not say that God can't give this gift today, though some do. But they're convinced that He hasn't done so. Therefore, they attribute every experience of tongue speaking to either demon influence or psychological suggestion. Now, obviously, some tongue speaking is satanic. But then a lot of other things that we do in the church are satanic. Satan has a counterfeit Bible, a counterfeit plan of salvation called works, a counterfeit church. Everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit of, except the blood of Jesus. That's the one thing that Satan doesn't counterfeit. So some tongue speaking obviously is satanic or demonic. And obviously some tongue speaking is psychological suggestion. I think some that I've seen in my experience has been that. Just sort of psyched up. These two extremes, however, both miss the truth about tongues as taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Much division and heartache over tongues could be avoided if Christians would only look to the New Testament as their sole rule of faith and practice. It's amazing how much trouble you get in when you avoid the Scriptures and how much help you can find when you open the book and see what they have to say. In considering the gift of tongues and interpretation, we must first of all admit that the Bible teaches that these two are spiritual gifts. Now let's look at the text again. It's certainly here in the Bible. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 10. "To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues," like we heard here on this tape. "And to still another, the interpretation of tongues." And for us to say that the Bible nowhere teaches the gift of tongues is to cast doubt on the integrity of the Scripture. This gift, as is true of all the other gifts, is given by the Holy Spirit, just as the Holy Spirit determines. The Bible says it's not ours for the asking, but it is God's to give or to withhold just as He in His sovereign will chooses. As Christians, we are encouraged to eagerly desire the greater gifts, but we may be grateful that it is the Holy Spirit Himself who is sovereign in their bestowal. Now, I want you to know that no Christian has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If one particular Christian had every gift of the Holy Spirit, then he would be a one-man church. He wouldn't need anybody else. If I had all 18 or 20 or 22 gifts, depending on who's list you go by and how many you count up, then I wouldn't need you. I would be a self-sustained unit, a church in myself. The Bible teaches that no Christian has all the gifts of the Spirit, nor is the possession of any one particular spiritual gift to be equated with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's to say, just because you have a certain gift is no sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we know this is true because 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30 tells us so, and I want you to look there. 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, I think we'd be better to just read the whole paragraph, so let's go and begin in verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Paul says to these folks in Corinth, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Now notice he begins to list some more gifts of the Spirit. Some of them are different from the list that we read earlier in the chapter. Some of them are the same. Apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Then he asks some questions here. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, in all seven of these questions, Paul uses in the Greek text of the New Testament the negative particle, may, mu, epsilon. And whenever that particular negative particle is used, it always indicates that the answer to the question must be no. Always. Therefore, none of these gifts, including tongues, is bestowed upon every Christian. Nor are all the gifts to be bestowed upon any one person. And I just simply point that out to you to say to you, if someone comes to you and says to you, you haven't been saved because you don't have the gift of tongues, or you aren't filled with the Spirit because you don't have the gift of tongues, that they don't know what they're talking about. Because the Bible says here very plainly in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30, do all speak in tongues? The negative particle may is used, and the answer is no. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous love chapter of the Bible, we learn that love is the indispensable medium for the exercise of spiritual gifts, including the gift of tongues. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. No spiritual gift, friend, means anything unless it's exercised in love, whether it's tongues or interpretation or teaching or showing mercy or whatever it might be. Now, with that in mind, the fact that the gifts of the Spirit are to be exercised in love, and no one person has every spiritual gift, and also the fact that a particular spiritual gift is not given to every person, we need to come and just ask ourselves, what is tongue speaking? I think to discover what it is, we need to go to 1 Corinthians 14. For there are several verses in 1 Corinthians 14 that provide the answer. Now, before we look at them, I want to suggest to you that tongue speaking, I want to give this definition to you. Tongue speaking in the book of Corinthians is Holy Spirit inspired utterance which is unintelligible. You say, that's not the way it is in Acts. I'm not talking about Acts. Okay? I'm not talking about Acts 2. Scholars that I read say that the tongue speaking in Acts 2 and the tongue speaking in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 is altogether different. You're welcome to borrow my commentaries and read the same things that I've read. The tongue speaking in the church in Corinth was Holy Spirit inspired utterance which was unintelligible, just like this was unintelligible that I played for you. That is, no one who hears it is able to understand what is being said apart from the gift of interpretation, which in itself is an attendant spiritual gift. Therefore, we can say that speaking in tongues is a form of ecstatic speech. Now, according to verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 14, tongue speaking is addressed to God and not to men. Look at verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him, and he utters mysteries with his spirit. It's certainly true. You can't understand it. It's a mystery in the spirit. Even the one who is engaged in it many times cannot understand it and will not understand it unless they have the corresponding gift of interpretation. Now, verse 14 tells us the one who speaks in tongues does not know what he's saying. Look in verse 13. For this reason, the man who prays in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. In other words, if you speak in a tongue, then you need to ask God to give you interpretation if you're going to understand what you said, or you won't know what you said. That's why he's told to pray for the power to interpret. Look in verse 14, where Paul distinguishes between praying with one's spirit and one's mind. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, the implication here is that when a person is engaged in exercising the gift of speaking in tongues, there is a disengagement of his rationality. His mind and utterance are not coordinated as an ordinary speech. Now in verse 16, we learn that speaking in tongues is a form of praising God. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? So here we find that when we pray in the spirit, as Paul puts it, it's a way of praising God. It's not the only way of praising God. There are many ways of praising God, but it is one form of praising God. And then verse 28 tells us that a person who has the gift of speaking in tongues can control that gift. Look in verse 28. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Now, they're talking about a worship assembly here, where the Christians are gathered as we are like tonight. And if someone stands up and begins, and we're going to see this in a little more detail later, in a minute, but if someone stands up and begins to speak in a tongue, there must be interpretation of that. And if there's not interpretation, this person should not speak in a tongue. Therefore, that says to us that tongue speaking can be controlled by the person who exercises it. Now, I've heard people say they just couldn't control it. All of a sudden, it just came out, and they just had no control of it. Listen, that goes contrary to Scripture. The Bible says you can control it. Just like I can control the gifts that God has given me to be a pastor-teacher. One of my gifts is the gift of teaching. I can stand up and teach, or I can sit down and refuse to teach. Okay? I have control over that particular gift. I can say yes to God, I will be a pastor. I can turn my time in and go sell insurance. I have control over those particular gifts. Same is true for one who has the gift of speaking in tongues. And the Bible tells us that the person who has these particular gifts needs to control that gift. And if there's no interpreter present, the person should not speak in a public assembly. Well, let's look at the value of speaking in tongues. Obviously, if God's given it as a gift, there must be some value in it. And I want us to see that, in particular, as we compare it with the gift of prophecy. And we'll see the relative value to see that the Scripture places greater value on the gift of prophecy as it does to the gift of tongues. In the first 25 verses of chapter 14, the Apostle Paul compares these two, prophecy and speaking in tongues. Now, we need to remember that both are spiritual gifts. One is Spirit-inspired utterance, which is intelligible. That's prophecy. While the other is Holy Spirit-inspired utterance, which is unintelligible. That's tongues. In these verses, 1 Corinthians 4, 1-25, Paul gives three reasons for the superiority of prophecy over speaking in tongues. First of all, prophecy is superior to tongues because prophecy edifies the church. The entire congregation is helped and strengthened when prophecy takes place, whereas in tongue speaking, it is only the one who is speaking in tongues who is edified. Look in 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So, here we see that prophecy builds up the entire church, while tongues, unless there's interpretation, builds up only the one who speaks in tongues. Now the next two verses, verses 5 and 6, acknowledge the desirability of speaking in tongues, but greater value is placed upon prophesying. Look in